Sports Talk with Al Woods, episode number 2. And today we have Coach Jim Boone from Delta State. How you doing, Coach? Welcome to the show.
Al, I'm doing great. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay. So you've been coaching for a very long time. So how long has it been? I mean, it's been, I would think, over 30 years.
I've been a head coach. This will be my 30th year as a head coach.
Okay. So that's a long time. Yeah.
35 years in the business.
Okay. Because you started out as an assistant coach back in the day at West Virginia State. Is that right?
That's exactly right, as you well know.
Yes, I know. So from there, I mean, you've had a very long career. I mean, you've coached at, some D2 schools, a couple of D1 schools. I mean, so what was that experience like?
Well, the short story, Al, is I had the opportunity to become a head coach at a very young age at California University of Pennsylvania. Inherited a program that had not been very successful, and in a very short period of time was able to turn it around. And 10 years later, we were the second winningest program in the country, only behind Virginia Union, who at that time, you know, had a young man named Ben Wallace, who ended up being a pretty good player. And went to a couple Final Fours and really had a great run. I was probably in my 9th or 10th year, I got really anxious to move. Mm-hmm. Thought that the Division I levels where I wanted to be. And so began entertaining offers from that realm, and ended up accepting the job at Robert Morris University in Pittsburgh, where we also inherited a program that had been very down for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And after 4 quick years, we're playing in the Northeast Conference Championship game on ESPN. That led me to Eastern Michigan University, where I accepted another program that had a lot of problems. Right. We had some NCAA issues that we were dealing with from the previous administration. We had mass player defections from the previous administration. And unfortunately, the NCAA came in and passed a rule called the 5-8 rule. To quote Coach John Chaney, was a coach killer.
Right.
And it was a really tough tough deal to live with, because you're only allowed to bring in 5 players in 1 year, 8 over 2. And when you accept a program that already had scholarship issues and had a loss of players, it's just a hard rebuild. Okay. But we ended up getting that program back on stable ground. Mm-hmm. And then we had a change in administration, both in president and board of regents. Mm-hmm. And they decided they didn't want to renew my contract. So all of a sudden, I'm sitting in a place where I'd never been, trying to make a decision on what we wanted to do. And now we looked back at it and said, you know what? Even though I've got these offers to go as a Division I major college assistant.
Right.
We were the happiest when we were coaching Division II.
Okay.
And for a lot of different reasons. And so we made a choice to go to Tusculum College, a small Division II school down in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Ed Hoffmeyer, the AD there, was outstanding. And we had a great 6-year run. Mm-hmm. Put that program back on its feet and took it to the top of the league. We were the winningest program in the league. Okay. With the time, the last 4 years we were there, excuse me, and got a call from West Virginia Wesleyan. Mm-hmm. And my dad still lives in West Virginia, and so I felt like this is a great opportunity to get home, and took it. But after 1 year, and we were just there 1 year,
right?
But we took the program to its best Division II record ever, first ever Division II NCAA tournament win.
Okay.
I had a great run, really enjoyed that team. Mm-hmm. But I got a call from the athletic director at the University of New Orleans, who I'd gotten to know during my time at Tusculum College in Tennessee, Amy Champion.
Okay.
Amy was on a couple of national title teams here at Delta State. And she basically said, "Do you really, you know, the Delta State job's open?" And I said, "Well, I heard that, but you know, I'm home. I'm here at Wesleyan."
Right.
Da 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 da. And she said, "Well, I think you need to take a hard look at Delta State because I think it's everything that you're looking for. Now, at the Division II level, I really want to coach somewhere mm-hmm. where we have an opportunity, resource-wise, facility-wise, program commitment to win at the highest level and in Division II. And certainly in this league, the Gulf South Conference, which we refer to as the SEC of Division II, Delta State has all those things." And after listening to Amy, I said, "Wow, you have definitely piqued my interest. What I need to do." To make a long story short, about 12 days later, I was on the campus at Delta State as their head coach. So this is my fourth year coming up here. We've thoroughly enjoyed it. Great people, good place, great recruiting area. It's been really good.
So, I mean, with all of that experience, I mean, you talked about wanting to be at the D2 level. So what is the difference between D1 and D2? I mean, what's happening? Because everybody I talk to, every kid at least, they all want to play at the D1 level. So maybe you can tell us the difference between the two.
Well, I can understand that certainly. And we go through the same thing with young men that want to play at the Division I level because ingrained in our mindset that Division I.
Right.
And really, Al, there's maybe 50 to 75 schools that are really playing at the Division I level.
Okay.
And all those other schools are just Division I in name only.
Right.
Their resources, their budgets, their level of commitment probably aren't any different, if not as great as ours. But there's a number of reasons. From a program standpoint, if you choose to come to Delta State, you're going to have an opportunity to play on a team that's going to be nationally ranked. Division II Bulletin just ranked us 11th in the country today in the preseason poll. You're going to have an opportunity to be an All-American. Devin Smith, who will be a junior for us, is listed as a preseason All-American, preseason player of the year in our league, and is the one of the top 16 players in the country, according to the Division II Bulletin and the Sporting News. Those are things that if you go to the small Division I level, you're not going to have an opportunity to do. You're not going to be ranked nationally. You're not going to be able to be recognized with such awards. And you're not going to have an opportunity to pursue a national title. And that is my greatest goal, something that we have not achieved
right
this point in our career. And that's to pursue a national title and maybe one day be fortunate enough to win one. Okay. The other part of it is, I think at this level, you get to do what I love to do most, and that's coach and teach and develop young men.
Okay.
At the Division I level, you know, 90% of my time was spent recruiting and promoting and getting out with boosters and alumni organizations. And I spent literally, Al, from the time that school started until we started official practice on October 15th. So you're talking about your incoming freshmen during the most instrumental part of the time of their transition phase, going from summer, because we did bring our guys into summer school at that time, but going from summer to fall, I really missed everything with them in that first 2 to 3 months because of the demands to recruit head coach at that level and to get out in the public eye. Okay. So this level, Division II, even though those things are just as important, recruiting and promoting your program and getting out with your boosters and your alums, it's not as time consuming as it is at the Division I level. And we have so much opportunity to coach and to teach and to develop our young men. We fashioned ourselves as a players program.
Okay.
And when we say that, what we're really talking about is the first thing we want to embrace our past, our history. You know, we've really worked hard to try to welcome all of our former players back to be a part of us and who we are, our coaches that coached here prior to us back. Mm-hmm. And then it's also about our current players and giving them the best opportunity. We've got five guys playing overseas right now professionally.
That's good.
You know, love that. And mm-hmm. that's a big part of what we do, developing them as players. But we also want to develop them to be successful in the broader community. Okay. And so we work extensively with not only the academic part, but developing our young men socially and ready to go on and be leaders in their community. And then, you know, last of all, it's being able to produce a program that is going to be appealing to young men that we recruit and being able to get the best players possible in our program. So those are some of the reasons that I've really enjoyed a Division II level and feel very blessed and fortunate to be here at Delta State.
Okay. So a lot of my next question is about AAU basketball. There's been a lot of discussion about that. You've got Charles Barkley having something negative to say about it. Even LeBron James has something negative to say about AAU basketball. To me, I see it as a great way to recruit players and to see a lot of players in one place. But, I mean, what is your opinion of AAU basketball? Is it, you know, are the players being coached properly? Is it a waste of time? Should it be abolished? I mean, what do you think?
Well, it's a question that we could spend days trying to dissect and analyze. It's a great question.
Yeah.
Frankly, it does provide opportunities for a lot of young men. It provides them with a platform to showcase their abilities and get to college. It provides college coaches with an opportunity to see a larger group, as you alluded to,
right,
in one setting. But there are some great negatives. There are some outstanding AAU coaches, outstanding right. guys that do a tremendous job with their team and are in it for the right reasons, to teach and to develop their players and provide them with the best opportunity to get to the next level.
Right.
But there's also guys that aren't doing a great job with it. And when you couple that with the fact that you've got young men that is more worried about how many touches they get and how many points that they're scoring.
Right.
And we're playing four, you know, three, four, five games in a day. And if you lose two, it doesn't matter. I'm more concerned about how many points I scored or how many rebounds I got.
Okay.
I don't think that's good for our game. And what happens is you look at the Division I level, and I believe there were almost 700 or 800, 600, it was some obscene number of transfers mm-hmm. on this year's transfer list. And I really feel like that all goes back roots to the AAU scenario where if you don't like your team, you just go to another team. And sometimes we miss what it takes to develop people, develop young men.
Right.
And that's understanding that adversity is part of that.
Right.
You're dealing with that. You have to work through it. You have to figure it out. And, you know, as you well know, when you get out in the real world, you're not going to always work with people that you like,
right?
But you got to keep that job and bring home that paycheck and right. be able to support your family.
Absolutely.
And I think we're missing some of that.
Okay.
But I also, it's today's society is more about me
right.
as opposed to we. And one of the things I talk about constantly, I know how hard it is on high school coaches
right.
that have to deal with that. To deal with the parents who have been glossed over by the AAU coaches,
mm-hmm.
it's tough. And those are some of the negatives that we deal with in AAU. And then having to change those mentalities, that mentality as we go into the college game.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, you know, talk about changing the mentalities. But if you've got the parents who are, you know, they're kind of stoking the flames here in a way. You know, the moms and dads are out there. They're sitting front row, you know, wanting their kid to get all the points, all the rebounds. You know, if we lose a couple of games, so what? We'll get them later on this evening. I mean, how what kind of role do you think the parents play in all of this?
Well, there's no doubt that parents are a big part of it. And, you know, and I've been fortunate that I've been on both sides of that fence. My son, who now coaches in our program, played AAU basketball, and it was a great opportunity for him. He played for a very good coach on a very good team out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, when we lived there. And it was, I thought it provided him a tremendous opportunity to develop his game because he was playing against great competition on a everyday basis. But I also understood as a parent, it was my role to support him and stay out of the judgment and who should play and who shouldn't play and all those things. And sometimes that's really hard.
I'm sure.
And when he went on to play high school, he played on a really good team in Greenville, Tennessee, his senior year, that went to the Tennessee State Championship in Murfreesboro. And played for a really good high school coach that did an outstanding job with him. And at times, the high school coach was very hard on him, sat him down a couple times, you know, demanded that he play better defense, that he all the things he needed to do.
Right.
And there's times that I know his mother wasn't real happy with that.
Right.
But we, our whole deal was you stay out of it. This is between Jimmy and his coach. And let him work through this because that's part of the maturing and growing process.
Absolutely.
But we all know, as high school coaches, that our would much rather their son or daughter be named to the All-State team as opposed to our team winning the states, and that's just part of the deal.
So you talked about coaching. You've got, I guess, in the college game, there's been a lot of issues with college coaches, and maybe they're too too tough on the kids, or maybe they're crossing the line of abuse or whatever, you know, these days. I mean, is it that the coaches are too tough or the players are too soft? I mean, because I can remember back in the day playing with, you know, being coached by a lot of coaches who were really tough, you know, and it was just accepted and it was part of basketball, you know. I mean, you had to run those suicides. You had to, you know, do all of those different things. You were being pushed and coached. And, you know, I didn't quit. You know, not too many guys quit. But now you got these kids who are, you know, so, I mean, what do you think? Are the coaches, is it too much? Are these players different? I mean, what do you think?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
And we really haven't changed a lot from how we approach our team and how we coach our team in 30 years. I don't know that the players are a lot. Of course, they're different, but I still think this. I think players, young men, want to be their best. They want to be pushed, and they want discipline. They may not always act that way. They may not always say they want that, but I think at the end of the day, they do. But I do think this, Al. There are times that coaches have crossed the line.
Right.
And just part of it. You know, we are, as a profession, we're just part of a larger, a broader community in our society. And, you know, everybody's not perfect.
Right.
But I think you can still push young men. You can still coach young men. You can still be tough on young men. But it all comes down to relationships. And then how you go about it. You know, you don't need to be demeaning in any way whatsoever. You don't need to be. Sometimes as coaches, it's in our nature that we're too negative. We need to look for the positive, and we always try to do that. We try to take a positive approach to our coaching and look for the good as opposed to always looking for the negative. But we really haven't changed a lot in how we approach our team, and we're very demanding. We expect a lot out of our guys, and our standards are very high. Our expectations are very high, and consequently, our results are usually very good, very high.
Okay. Now, Academics is a big issue. I mean, it still surprises me to this very moment that there's a lot of high school kids who they don't take it as seriously as they should. They're thinking that, okay, I'm a great athlete, I'll be able to get in. So if you're out there recruiting a student athlete and he's really good, but his grades are not, you know, they're not there. I mean, what would you say to a student athlete who may be listening to this about academics?
Well, the NCAA has really upgraded the standards across the board in terms of initial eligibility for incoming freshmen. And so it is extremely important because most institutions at the Division I and Division II level just will not take you. You will not be accepted if you do not meet those standards. And, you know, right now we're looking at 16 core credits and, you know, having a good GPA and a high ACT, SAT score. And we at Delta State, if you don't meet those standards, we can't take you. So it's extremely important and it must be a priority. And it falls really upon the young man. You know, too often we rely heavily upon our coaches and our counselors, and that's great, but we also need to take personal responsibility for our academics and what we're doing to make sure that, excuse me, that we're in position to reach our dreams and go on and use basketball as a means to attend college.
I mean, so, okay, but, you know, this kid is the next Michael Jordan, you know, and he wants to come play for you, but the grade point average is not quite there. I mean, what would you tell a student athlete in that situation? You know, he's not quite there. He's really good. You know, this could probably be the player that gets you that championship you've been wanting your whole career. Well, I mean, what do you do?
Well, if he doesn't have the academics to be admitted and to be initially eligible, then we can't take him.
Okay.
So we'll have to pass and just tell him that we would love to have you in our program, but you're probably going to have to look at the junior college level for a year or two and work on your academics and get yourself in a position to meet eligibility. And I do feel like this, Al, there's two things that are really important. We're talking about eligibility and we're talking about graduation.
Right.
And we don't want our players to work towards eligibility when they're here. We're working towards graduation. That's our most important objective. Now, with the high school young man, if he meets the NCAA standards for eligibility, that's the first standard that we're looking for, because if he meets those, then he has a great chance to come in and be a graduate from our institution.
Okay.
Is he diligent about his wanting to earn a degree?
Okay. So Delta State, what's the, you know, you guys were what, 15 and 14 last year? Was that?
This was our 2 years ago. We won the league. We went to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. We were ranked in the top 25. Great year. Lost four outstanding seniors off that team.
Okay.
Kind of in a rebuilding situation last year, but got off to a great start. Rode into February in first place in our league, and then in a week's period of time, had three starters go down with a broken hand, a broken foot, and a torn patella.
Wow.
So really tough to fight through that, but I was proud of our guys. I mean, we got some guys that are just tough as boots, and they just fought through it and provided us an opportunity to still end up with a winning season. So we were really pleased with that.
Okay, so obviously they think that, you said you were ranked 11th, going to be ranked 11th this year. So I guess the outlook is very promising. So, I mean, maybe you can talk on that a little bit about where do you think this team is going to be come, you know, the end of the season or even the outlook for the whole entire year?
Well, we'll have to wait and see, obviously. It's all about the process, but to receive a preseason national ranking is just that. It's preseason. Yeah. It doesn't mean a lot, but we are excited about it because it does add exposure to our program. Right. And it indicates the hard work and effort that we're putting in as a coaching staff and our players are putting in as players.
Okay.
We have five core guys returning from last year's team, including Devin Smith, who was arguably the best player in our league last year and is a preseason nomination to be that this year. Coupled with, we have a 6'5 Australian shooter that is the one who broke his foot. He had the Kevin Durant fracture, the Jones fracture.
Okay.
Last year, so he missed all of February, and that hurt us. But he's returning and should be 100% this year as a senior. And then we have a 6'10 Australian that will be a senior post player for us. And we had last year's freshman of the year, PJ Davis, who is a local young man right here from Cleveland, from Eastside High School in Cleveland, Mississippi. And we're expecting, obviously, huge things out of him. And then Zelvin Smith, who will be a senior for us. All these guys we brought in, the seniors, our first recruiting class. Zelvin Smith, who was a starter that broke his hand last year and missed in February, will be, you know, as a 6'5", kind of a 3/4 man that can shoot it and weighs about 225 pounds and is strong and athletic, returning as a senior as well. So our core is really good, and we brought in eight really good young men to compliment them, and just we're very excited about it. We didn't do ourselves any favors after playing Arkansas on right. November 10th in an exhibition.
Right.
Have the opportunity to play in a Gulf South Conference Sunshine Conference Challenge tournament where we've got Florida Southern, who is the defending national champion, along with Eckerd, who's one of the top teams in their league. And then 4 days later, we go to Texas and play Tarleton State, who is the preseason number one ranked team in the sporting news, and was 31-4 last year and went to the Final Four. So we'll find out real quick who we are and where we are and what we need to do to progress.
Okay. All right, last question here. This number, I was doing a little research here. This number I found here, 482. So I think that's the your career win total right now. So, I mean, what does it feel like to be in a position to, you know, you've been coaching a long time to, you're going to win 500 games, hopefully this year. I mean, what does that feel like to be in that position to have coached as long as you have 500 wins? You know, I mean, that's a lot. That's great.
Old. Feels old. Feel very, very blessed to have had a lot of really good players and coaches work with us, and certainly that is a milestone that that indicates that not only have you been able to be successful, but you've been able to do it over the course of time, and, mm-hmm. and that's probably the greatest indicator of the level of success you're having is the test of time. So. Feel very, very fortunate to be in that position.
Okay. Well, you know, best of luck this season for the Delta State program. And, you know, congratulations on all your success and 500 victories. That's so it won't take too long. If you win, 10, 12 in a row here, you'll get it.
Well, I didn't do us any favors by starting the season with the schedule that we have. I think you've got to play a tough schedule to develop your team, and so we're looking forward to it. It's a day by day, practice by practice, game by game season. It's a long season. Every season has its 2 to 3 crises that develop. Sure. Every season has its ups and downs. And the true measure of an outstanding team is a team that can come to work every day with its hard hat on and its lunch pail and grit and grind its way through the year.
Okay. All right. Well, Coach Boone, thank you so much for being on Sports Talk Show, and good luck this season, and just get it done, I guess. Get it done, right?
Al, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, great. Okay, great. It was an outstanding show. I want to thank my guests, Jim Boone from Delta State, the head men's basketball coach. They're coming up on a new season. They are ranked 11th in the Division II level. This is great. So you know, feel free to leave a comment, your thoughts, your opinions about this interview, this podcast interview. And in the future, we're going to have, you know, more college coaches on, try to get some deep inside information on the recruiting process, academics, how their program functions. You know, we're just trying to look for information that can help the student athlete, the parents make better decisions about the recruiting process. So thanks so much for listening to Sports Talk, and we'll talk to you again real soon.